Welcome to City Watch, where you, the listener, can go behind the walls of City Hall. Good morning. I'm your host, Bill Shimmers, on show 331. And I say show 331 because I have a special guest here, which is this is my last official guest because we're going to change up the shows here a little bit in the future, but we'll talk about that at another time. But I've got Sarah from Family Resources here, and we're talking about Human Trafficking Month, and I bring Sarah on for this because it goes back into what I used to do in Arizona when I was running a task force for law enforcement on human trafficking. So it hits home for me, having seen and worked with victims, and I'm super glad to have Sarah here on the show. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
So tell us what do you do with Family Resources, and what's all about Human Trafficking Month?
Yes, so I'm Sarah. I'm an advocate from Family Resources. We're a nonprofit organization that provides services including counseling and therapy. We have a 24-hour, 7 days a week crisis response team. We provide emergency shelter, safety planning, and education and awareness. And January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, so we are spreading awareness on human trafficking.
And it's a crime that if you've never really seeing the eyes of the victims and stuff, and this is why I'm glad Sarah's come back on the show. It's something you don't ever forget, and I'm glad we have a month that we can acknowledge to the people and the victims that there is help out there. So, Sarah, take us down understanding human trafficking and all that goes down the lines of this.
Sure. So human trafficking is often misunderstood. A lot of times we think of the scenario of kidnapping that we see in the movies. However, only 8% of trafficking happens during abduction. The most common type of trafficking we see in our community is something called grooming, where a trafficker builds a trust with someone who is vulnerable only to manipulate and exploit them.
Yeah, that's what I've seen most of as well. And, you know, we don't have the big malls here that I was accustomed to, but malls and even school areas and stuff like that were things that we dealt with. And online, which is probably a whole topic by itself, where social media plays a big role as well. So tell us a little bit about the grooming part, if you will, and what
Sure.
people should look out for, maybe even parents.
Sure. So So a trafficker targets someone that's vulnerable. Let's say it's a youth that runs away, is in need of food or shelter. The trafficker is going to come in and try to pretend to save the day, giving them the things that they need, and then that's how they earn their trust with the person. So it could be anything of value, food, clothing, a place to stay, money, or emotional connection.
And I know we have here on the notes, let's transition over to sextortion, because this is it's a Saturday morning and people are probably drinking their coffee, but what is this all about?
Yeah, so sextortion mostly targets 13 to 17-year-olds, though anyone can be affected. And this often includes a third party posing as a peer who sends an inappropriate photo and asks for one in return. Once a youth sends a photo, it can't be taken back. The trafficker uses this as blackmail and demands more images, asks for more money, or threatens to expose the photos to family, friends, or even the school. Because of this intense fear and pressure, there's been a lot more suicide rates that are connected to sextortion across the country.
And that's something parents really need to be aware of, watching their kids, how much social media they do on their phones, and just be aware of what's going on out there. And we're going to talk a little bit more where people can follow up on phone calls on this. So where does human trafficking happen at?
Most human trafficking happens either at familial relationships or romantic relationships. If not there, most happens online. 60%, in fact, happens online.
And what are some of the warning signs that people should look out for?
Warning signs for social media would be like seeking out youth deliberately, learning personal details about them, where they go to school, what kind of schedule they have, what sports they play, their family dynamics. It could be building trust over time and slowly introducing manipulation. Also, 50% of trafficking victims happen to males as well, and this is often overlooked and under-identified.
That is overlooked a lot, and you don't hear about it a lot, and but it is an area that is overlooked and often forgotten. That's you know, I've got all boys. I'll tell you what, I don't use a search warrant when I want to look on their phone. I go take a look as their parent to make sure what they're doing is on the up and up as well. So what would be some safety tips that we could give parents out there and things to watch for?
So that would just, I would say just stay engaged, ask some questions, keep open communication, pay attention to changes in mood, behavior, online activity, pay attention to their friends, and just really be involved in their life and be present.
And for a parent or adult that is watching kids, sometimes that's their grandparents and whatnot in today's world, what would be some guidance that we could offer out there?
Pay attention.
Oh, yeah, stay engaged. Keep communication.
Yeah.
I know you got here, you're not alone. What would you want to tell parents, coming from you as a family resource person, they're not alone.
Sure. Yeah, so I would just say, again, paying attention to them. Some red flags could be like being unusually fearful or anxious if they can't answer their phone right away, possessing expensive items or cash when they don't have a job, having rehearsed or scripted lines or someone else speaking for them, or someone refusing to separate from them, or sudden changes in behavior, appearance, or social circles. This doesn't mean that it is happening, but these are some red flags. So again, just letting the child know, hey, you're not alone and that you care, and just being present with them, maybe spending more time with them.
And before we get down to, I know you have some numbers and stuff that people get, so parents and whatnot, get your pencils and paper ready. Is there anything we missed that we need to let our people know out there? We hit it on a pretty good amount of time. We did?
We did a good job.
Outstanding. So you have some contact information. I really hope people take this down tonight, because I know there you had the link in there, which I really like, is the suicide, which is a topic by itself. Mm-hmm. What are some of the resources and phone numbers that people can contact if they're out looking for help or guidance even?
Sure. So you guys can always contact Family Resources if you ever have any questions, concerns, or need support. If this has happened to you, just know you don't have to be ashamed. You're not alone, and there's help available. You can call our crisis line at 1-866-921-3354. We have locations both in Clinton and Davenport and Muscatine. And if you or someone you know may be experiencing trafficking, exploitation, or any unhealthy relationships, please reach out. We're here to support you. Again, that number is 1-866-921-3354.
And I see the 563, is that a local number? Because I know the other one's a toll-free, obviously. So
yeah, so there's a number, it's 563-326-6431, and that's our Davenport location.
And this is a 24/7 answering.
Yes.
So there's somebody there at any time to help out. So website, we have a website here. It's famres.org.
Yep.
And that'll offer extra help and guidance as well.
Yes.
Or at least put people in the right direction. So one more time for that, phone number is 866-921-3354 or the Davenport 563-326-6431. Well, Sarah, thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for always helping out in the areas that I like to think that needs more and more attention.
Yes, of course. Thanks for having me.
Until next time.